podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, coaches. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So excited to join us today in the podcast. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Like I've said before, the technology behind this thing, I remember old school when they used to have those long metal racks. The ball would go up into this net and would come down this long metal rack. The technology and the ability that Dr. Dish does and all the people that work there and the things that they give back to the community is second to none. Mention Coach Unplugged, me, Coach Collins, or anybody, and they'll give you $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop. It's got clinics. It's got handouts. It's got breakdowns. It's got on-court things teaching you. You know, I'm not upselling yet. I'm not doing those kind of things. I'm not making you pay for the clinic videos. I'm giving you everything that we got to make you a better basketball coach, along with me, someone that's won at the highest level in the U.S., been nationally ranked. I want to help you become a better basketball coach, and that's why I started teachhoops.com. That's why I want to help you win more basketball games. Go over and check it out. And in closing, if you like our other podcast, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, High School Hoops, Funnel Down, or this one, go leave a 5-star review. We really do appreciate that. And let's head off. Happy birthday, bro. It's my brother's birthday. July 5th is my brother's birthday. So he is 59. So happy birthday, bro.
Older brother.
Make
sure we're clear on that.
Older brother. Yes, yes. He's got two Ivy League degrees. So he's got his undergrad from Dartmouth and his MBA from Harvard. So I'm the dumb one in the family.
The black sheep.
I'm the black sheep. I just got one Ivy League degree. I'm the dumb one.
Yeah. But how many state titles does he have?
None.
So
he does run the third most active venture capital company in the world. It's called AVG. AVG. It's Alumni Venture Capital or something. Anyway, if you look it up, if you are that person, you're listening to this podcast,
a coach and a business person looking to.
Yes. It's a diversification because, like, his theory is like when you get so much money, then you have to diversify. You have to buy art, you have to buy real estate. Venture capital should be part of your portfolio when you get enough money. That's kind of his niche. So
I was the other way, living out in Silicon Valley, right? I did a lot of startups. So would go to your guys like your brother to say, hey, let me get you an idea.
You would, trust me. Anytime I see something, I always send it to him. I go, have you third? Like the newest one is like you can buy a piece of a Picasso. Have you seen this one?
Yeah.
Like marketplace. So I already sent it. He goes, oh, I've heard about that one. It's interesting because he bought into Picasso. Have you heard about Picasso? He bought a place in somewhere out east, out west, like an eighth of a share of Picasso, one of those places in Picasso. The real estate thing. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
So, but his VC company actually got into that. That was part of their investment. One of their things. But it's interesting. So let me again. Hey, coaches. Not only about coaching youth hoops, it's about everything. It's not a timeshare. They buy like places like on Malibu or places in like Florida, and then maybe they spend $5 million and then they break it up into shares, like 10 shares, and then you can buy a share of it and then you get 5-6 weeks a year. That's what it is, people, if you're knowing. Yeah. So no one needs to own a place in Malibu, I guess, unless you're Tom Cruise.
Speaking of Tom Cruise, and then this is coming out later, but did you see new Top Gun movie yet?
I haven't. I heard it's good, though.
It's good.
Is it good?
It's good. It was good. I mean, as my wife says, we were leaving the theater, and she says, didn't that bring you back to 1986?
I know. That's why my wife and I got to go.
And I'm like, yeah, it really did. It was just like very nostalgic. And anyway, we're getting into it, but it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. All right, what's today's episode?
I love this topic. And the reason why is that it's been a passion project of mine. So in preparation to launching basketball practice plans, right? .com, by the way.
Right.
go sign up for the waiting list. I was like, what is the perfect practice? What does it look like, right? And so I've done a lot of research lately on it. And the other reason it came up was I always got complimented on my practice plans. Coaches always would kind of laugh because I would come in with a detailed practice plan, even with my third grade kids, right? All the way through high school, right? Every 5 minutes there's something new. It's all structured, new practice every day, right? And I thought I was doing a pretty good job. So then last year, talked to my coaches and they're like, that was good. I'm like, no, this is great.
Right.
And they're like, no, you know, this is what I think we should do. We should add to it. And I was, you know, love my coaches. I was I was sad because here I thought
you'd spent all this time
practice, man. Right.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, challenge accepted. Right. What is the perfect practice plan? So,
or what's a perfect practice plan? Structure is what you're talking
structure,
about.
Structure, right? Structure. Because one of the things that I was struggling with as I was doing my practice plan is, you know, you have your offense, you have your defense, skill work block. So then I thought, okay, I need a better structure. That's just the way my brain works. And so I started doing all this research. So I apologize to the person who the idea this was. This wasn't my idea.
Right.
And I don't remember the name and I didn't write it down. But he broke the game down into, I think it was the G League coach for the Boston Celtics, mentioned the game breaks down to four components. So then I thought, oh, okay. And we'll talk about those four components. That's how I structured my practice plan. But then within that, there's details. Okay, so here we go. Four components. Transition to defense. This is the four components of a game. Transition to offense. So those are the four components of the game. And I thought, well, we have to learn some skills in all those four areas. So let's fill in the blanks from there. Okay. And then skill work on top would be the kind of the fifth thing. So then what I did is I created this practice template that broke that into those five components really. And it's actually a little bit more, but we'll go into the details. So, but basically, and I broke it up into quote unquote quarters. So skill work is quarter one.
That you stole from me because it's like I sometimes run practice like a game.
Yes, game. I did steal. That's right. I did steal that from you.
That one's me. Right. I'll take credit for that one because I run practice that way. I run it like a game. Pre-game, first, well, we run halves, but first quarter, break, discussion, second quarter, longer discussion, halftime, some skill work, blah, blah, blah. They, you break it up to like a game. It's a rhythm. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So start with skill work, and then that's followed by your most important thing for you, and that of the four components that I listed. So in our case, I'm a big defensive guy, so defense. So quarter one, skill work, quarter two, defense. Now you're at halftime. So you got your first half of your practice. That's your first half of your practice. Then it goes into, then it doesn't matter from there what you want to focus on, but you got to do your transition to defense and then your transition to offense. And sometimes I do the transition to defense and defense itself in that second quarter. And then you end with your offense and then competition or some sort. Okay. And special teams, anything like that kind of fits in that last half. So again, your skill work, your most important next thing, that should occupy your first half. And then everything else, your second half. Yeah. That's the way I thought about it, right?
Okay.
So your offense, your defense, your offense in our case, special teams, blob slobs, press break, and then competition. Okay. And then from there, what I did is this you'll see this because you'll have to tell me, give me some feedback once you see it. But then it breaks.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Before we go any further, I'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsor, one of our sponsors, hoopsalytics.com. The spot that you need to go. If you want to become a better basketball coach, you got to break film down. You got to look at film. You got to look at statistics. You got to figure out X, Y, and Z work and A, B, and C don't. So go over and check it out. Very affordable. Other things like it are thousands and thousands of dollars. And they have partnered with us, hoopsalytics.com. /teach22. I'll put the link down below. We'll give you 25% off and you get a free game for just signing up. So go over and check it out and let's head off back over up on somewhere back to the podcast. Talk to you soon.
Then it breaks up into teach, train, or compete. Okay. So let's talk about skill work. So imagine let's say you're teaching them the drop step. Okay. These kids never learned the drop step. So that's teach. So you just do, I have it, you know, I put down, it's a drop down menu on my spreadsheet, teach.
Okay.
Yeah. That, so I know I'm teaching this skill.
Right.
Okay. Now, tomorrow when I come back and we do that same thing, it goes from teach to train. They're spending more time on the training aspect because I taught it yesterday.
Right.
Now they come back and train.
Yep.
Right. And then maybe the third day they come back and it says compete as how that thing is categorized.
So you don't compete on that skill right away.
No, we do. So I'm going to get into that next. Okay. So yeah, it goes teach, train, compete for the skill. And that's more of a note for me and what I'm doing at that moment. So then we go back, then we do train, compete, train, compete. So it's train. The kids work on that individual skill and they're doing it kind of on their own or maybe with a partner. And then we go into compete mode on that particular skill. So we might do a small-sided game that focuses on that particular skill and they're competing.
Okay.
Right. So,
yeah. The competition part is like the reason I asked that question is that is part of. That's part of a master class or a master practice is the competitive part. Especially teaching high school boys, it's like I got to make as many things as competitive as possible. Right. And it depends on the level that you're doing it, but I think it makes it more fun then too.
It does, and the kids like that, right? They just don't want to hear us talking all the time. And I would, you know, another part that we didn't talk about here either is not just the structure, but you and I, we talk too much. And I know you've talked about this in previous podcasts too, right? It's just, you know, keep the skill that you're teaching in, you know, say three things. Like I'll give you an example. I wrote this one down too, because I think it's, so in the teach phase, right? If I'm teaching a new skill, let's say that skill is, our offense. Now, offense can get pretty complicated,
right? And especially initially, if you're teaching a new offense, you got to talk a lot, and it's hard. Right. Like it's and like it's I'm hard. Lecturing. It is like it's too much.
So then I break it up. So what? Okay, kids, we're learning a new offense. What is it? Well, what the goal of it is this: we want to create big advantage shots. Well, what are big advantage shots? We want to get to the free throw line. Right. We want to get a three, and then we want to get into the key. So freeze, threes, and keys. Right. So make it kind of fun and a rhyme and something. Yep. Okay. We want a free throw. We want to shoot a drive and kick three, ideally. Now, obviously, if they're third grade, you're not going to do that. Right. You tweak that. Maybe it's just freeze and get into the key to score. Okay. So boom. Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, how do we create those opportunities? Right. So then we just kind of break it down. Okay. So now how do you create those opportunities? Remember, we're learning the new offense. Keep the ball moving. Don't hold on to it for more than 1 second. Now we kind of do a cougar count because we're the cougars. So it's like one cougar, two cougars. I got to do something. I got to break that 3-point line at that point. I either got to pass or I got to drive. Right. Or I got to shoot.
Yep.
And then spacing is always hard for kids. Well, what's proper spacing, two people away? Well, what does that mean? Right.
Right.
So it's like, get to a space where one person can't guard two of you. If one person can easily guard two of you, then move to a different, you got to move. Right.
Right.
And then this idea of, you know, we always say cutting hard, still a difficult, like what does cutting hard mean? Right. We get into space and then out of space. So once you break the 3-point line, get into space, right, downhill to the basket or to the paint, and then out as quickly as you can so the next person can make a play or pass out. Or if you didn't get a shot opportunity, pass out and get out of the key so the next person can try to make a play. So don't get caught up on what the words were necessarily, but right. It's this idea of, okay, I just taught you an offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the offense. So then we practice that. Okay. Steve, you're holding on to the ball too long. Like as soon as you grab the ball, one cougar, two cougar, and then, you know, they got to do something. Right.
Why do you think they hold on to the ball too much? On a side note,
because they're thinking too much, and there's too much, right? God, do I pass? Do I shoot? What do I do in this situation?
It's reaction. It's teaching them, yeah. And that's where you're trying to teach them.
That's right.
It's got to be non-thought things. It's got to be right. A quick reaction.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I always say too? It's like we are a drive first offense. Okay, so that might be another thing. We're a drive first offense. As soon as you ball get the drop, try to drive. Oh, you know what? You got stopped. Okay. Right. Then now you got stopped. Now what are your options? I can shoot, yeah, or I can pass out because I can't drive anymore. There you right. go. Boom. At least I rip and I go and I'm gone.
Right.
Right. If you're a drive first offense, you know, and then you have your different philosophies. But does that make sense?
It does. I love that. I mean, I think, and for all the youth coaches listening, I think that's part of the process. There's what we're trying to do is teach you how to set up a lesson plan for you. There's right. no perfect way. Coach and I are not going to do lesson plans exactly the same. We're going to have some structures that are going to be similar, but that's where I think even as a youth coach, you have to think about your audience, think about how you're going to, you know, mm-hmm. teach it, you know, how you're going to train it, how you're going to be competitive in it. You know, maybe you only have them twice a week. So what are the master things in that structure? Because you do have to teach, you do have to train, you do have to compete and practice. But how, like, you only see them for 3 hours a week. So what are the skill? What are the things that are most important for their development as a basketball player and a person to teach? Yep. And then you can worry about the train, and maybe you can send some stuff home to train. Maybe like, hey, go home this week. This is what you're going to do in your driveway before we see you again, blah, blah, blah. But I think I love how you've broken that down into those nuances, Coach.
Yeah. I think it's just important from a structure standpoint. Obviously we talk about always being prepared going into practice. And I think one last point, is if they're not getting it, stop. Don't continue. Don't add, yes. don't 15 more minutes, right? They're still right. not going to get it. That's on you. Right. So just cut it off.
Yep.
Be done with it. Go back and evaluate and say, yep. okay, maybe it's me. I need to teach this differently. There's not grasping. Maybe it's too high level and you need to break it down into small little pieces because they're just not getting the concept, right? And that's kind of the idea of how I explained that offensive set. It's like, okay, I didn't tell them, you got to go screen here and you go do this and you go do that. It's like, give them three rules, three things to start with. And then next week, come back, or the next practice, come back, maybe with a little something, you know, like, right. okay, now we're going to set a screen.
Right.
Every time you cut, you got to set a screen or something. Right.
And I think on the drive home or when you're after the practice, take some time and self-evaluate too about yeah. like what Coach is just saying, like that didn't work. Well, why didn't it work? So, mm-hmm. you know, that drive home, that's what I used to do, especially if we're coming from a tournament or something. It'd be like, oh, crud, we didn't. So what do I have to think about leading into the next lesson? It's the same thing with the teacher. It's like sometimes first hour I bomb it, but by fourth hour I figured it out because, you know, yeah, it's like you always want to have a teacher at the second time they teach something in a day, because the first time is not as good as because you evaluate and you pivot mm-hmm. and you do new things that second time. But then by the third or fourth time, the teachers forget what they it's like. So the second period is always the best from that. But from you as a youth coach, think about it, evaluate it on that drive home, I think. All right. Anything else, Coach?
No, I think that's it. So just have a plan, go in with a plan, get it structured. If you guys have questions, obviously reach out to us. Yep. Happy yep. to help you.
And then
you.
We'll put the Facebook group down below.
Yep.
And I love the teach, train, compete. It goes into your ABCs a little bit, Coach.
Yeah, I know.
A little bit. All right. Till next week.
Book soon.
And then the book soon, yes. Sports Social Podcast Network.